This is B2B Marketing Methods. I'm your host, Terry Hoffman, and I'm the CEO of Marketing Refresh. Let's face it, embracing digital marketing is daunting. This podcast was created to make it more approachable. Join us as we talk to CEOs, sales leaders, and revenue growth experts who will share lessons learned and tips from their own journeys. Welcome to B2B Marketing Methods. We're very excited today to have a special guest with us. He is not a VP of marketing and sales for a B2B company. He's even better than that. He is a professional EOS implementer, and he's going to explain what that means in just a minute, but his name is Rusty Smith. Rusty, thank you so much for being with us today. Why don't you start by you're welcome. I'd love it if you could just start by introducing yourself and telling our audience what that means to be a professional EOS implementer.
Okay, well, EOS stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System. And EOS is a management process that really helps businesses get more of what they want from their business. And we do it basically with three things, right? We call them vision, traction, and healthy. Vision from the point of view of knowing where the business is going and how you're going to get there. Traction in terms of getting everyone working with accountability and discipline in order to make the vision happen. You know, a lot of consultants will help you create a vision and a plan, but the hard part is actually implementing that plan. Built into our process is that discipline and accountability. And healthy, meaning getting the leadership team to work in a healthy, cohesive fashion, because quite frankly, most don't, right? And if we can get the leadership team working in business traction and healthy, then so goes the rest of the organization. Ultimately, everyone in the organization knows where the company is headed, how they're going to get there. They're working in a disciplined, accounting and accountable way, and they're functioning as a healthy, cohesive team.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we actually implemented EOS at our company at Marketing Refresh last year. And I always joke to my team, nobody told me I was going to have to mature and grow up before I started it.
And actually do what I say I'm going to do.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. It has really transformed the way that we think and operate. Wonderful. And function together. And I absolutely love the system, and I'm a huge advocate for it. And I mean, really one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on is because I can see such a clear connection between how we now think and operate as a company and how that connects to our own revenue growth strategy. And I was really excited about having you on so you can kind of educate our audience about that connection.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things, Terry, that you've probably learned in the program is one of the things we talk about is when companies are growing, they tend to hit ceilings, right? And so something that's worked in the past no longer works. Maybe it's an employee, maybe it's software, maybe it's the facility. Something happens, right? They hit that ceiling. And unless they can break through that ceiling, then they're either going to plateau or, worst case, they're going to start to drop off. If they can break through that ceiling, then, you know, they'll continue to grow. And one of those five leadership abilities is the ability to predict, right? The ability to say, here's where we're going. This is our goal. And then put the plan in place to actually make it happen. And so that prediction piece is huge, because if you just say, well, let's just grow as fast as we want, right, then nothing's going to happen unless you have a plan in place to say, hey, here's our target. Here's how we're going to get there. And then actually put the things in place to make those things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So tell me a little bit about the types of companies that you work with and, you know, everything from the size that they might be, from employees to revenue to industries. Like, what is kind of the typical type of company that you help?
So our sweet spot is really companies 10 to 250 employees. Mm-hmm. And the industry doesn't matter so much. I mean, I work with professional services companies. I work with manufacturing companies. I work with healthcare companies. I have two healthcare clients. I work with distribution companies. And so the type of company doesn't really matter in terms of the industry they're in. The most important thing that does matter is that the leadership team is more afraid of the status quo than they are of change. And so it's a mentality, if you will. You know, those that say, look, we've got to stay on the cutting edge of our industry. We've got to make sure that we're developing our people, we're developing our systems, and we know that that's going to be change. you know, those are the people that we like to work with, or those that embrace change are willing to put the work in to make it happen. So it's more about the mentality. We call it the psychographics as opposed to the demographics of the company.
Oh man, I bet. I wonder too, like, do you see some common maybe challenges that they're facing? And you mentioned a couple of them earlier, whether it's hitting that plateau or maybe they're even starting to see a decline. Are there just some common maybe symptoms that you encounter pretty commonly?
Yeah. So it's interesting that you asked that question. The EOS model that we introduce people is one of the things that Gino Wickman, who developed the program way back when, he said, look, there's 130 something, you know, issues that companies are dealing with, but they all fall into six buckets, right? Vision. Does everybody know where we're going? And does everybody share in that vision? People. Do we have the right people in the right seats? Data. Are we managing the company based on information, or are we managing the company based on gut feel? Because a lot of entrepreneurial companies run their companies based on gut feel. So putting a scorecard in place, having metrics for everyone. Process, making sure you're doing the same thing the same way all the time so that you're delivering a consistent customer experience. You're eliminating mistakes. It's easier to onboard people. Process is a huge part of what we do. Issues, how you solve issues, and traction, meaning you're communicating, you're getting together, you're collaborating with each other on a regular basis in a structured way. So All of the problems that you have, a lot of them are people issues. A lot of them are process issues. A lot of them are data issues, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, being a digital marketer, I love data, and our company really, that's a big part of our company culture, is making sure that we're using data and research to guide our decisions, as opposed to just being those creative marketers who kind of go off of colors and feelings and emotions, right? Like, that's definitely an important part of marketing, but the data in the digital marketing world is just, it's everything, right?
It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that accountability piece of the pie and how you coach your clients on connecting that to their sales and marketing programs?
Okay. So like I said, our process, the EOS system, has accountability built in every stage of the system, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that we do in the very first meeting that we do with our clients is build a scorecard. You've got to have a scorecard so that you're tracking on a weekly basis how things are going. It's kind of like the canary in the coal mine, if you will. And how that relates to marketing, right? Many things on the scorecard. Yeah, you're going to put revenue on the scorecard. You're probably going to put some profit goals on the scorecard. But you better be putting some lead generation items on the scorecard as well. So if I was talking to a client earlier this week, and one of the things that he said is their leads coming in dropped pretty quickly, right? And they knew, because they look at that scorecard every single week, that they knew right away that their incoming leads had dropped. And so they immediately made some changes to their keywords and got those leads back up again. You know, most companies wouldn't recognize that for 3-4 weeks, you know, revenue. Hey, the revenue last month wasn't that great. What's going on? Yeah. You know, so having that scorecard in place is crucial. The second thing that builds that accountability into the system is what we call rocks. So every quarter we set rocks. What are the 3 to 7 most important things that you need to get done in the next quarter? And oftentimes, as a matter of fact, I would say it's the exception that you wouldn't have at least one marketing-oriented rock on the list, right? You're looking at those rocks every week. Are they on track? Are they off track? And then at the end of the quarter, are they done or are they not done? Right? So there's accountability built in there. If that rock gets off track sometime during the quarter, right, then you recognize that and you put in place the things that need to happen to fix it, right?
Yep.
And so there's weekly accountability in terms of getting those rocks done. And like I said, many of those rocks are in the business development area of the company. The third thing I would add is, as you're holding your weekly leadership team meetings and you're solving issues, you're reviewing your rocks, you're reviewing your scorecards, you're constantly adding issues to your issues list, right? And the discussion of those issues typically lead to to-dos, right? Hey, marketing owner, right? You need to go, you know, make this adjustment, or the sales person, you need to go call on this account, or you need to go work with this, whatever it is, right? Well, those to-dos also get reviewed every week. Hey, did that to-do that you took last week get done? So that accountability is built into the system. Every week in the level 10 meeting, you're reviewing your rocks, you're reviewing your to-do so they get done, you're reviewing your scorecard, are you on track or are you off track? Every quarter, you're setting those business development goals along with the other goals in the company, the financial goals, the operational goals, and so on and so forth. And then every year when we do the two-day planning meeting, every year, you're resetting, you know, your one-year plan, you're resetting your three-year picture, you're resetting all of those things. And obviously business development, marketing falls into all of that. Because if you're not generating the leads that you need to drive your business, you're not going to achieve your goals.
Right, exactly. So you mentioned a term called the level 10 meetings. Can you expand on that and explain what that is?
Patrick Lencioni talked about this in his book, Death by Meeting, right? People talk about having too many meetings every week, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that meetings are bad. It's that bad meetings are bad. And so we have a process that we call a level 10 meeting that we have every week. And there's a set agenda for it. We always insist that it starts on time, ends on time. We have a set agenda for it. The first part of that meeting is all about identifying issues. And then the second part of that meeting, the first third is about identifying issues. The second two thirds of that meeting is all about solving those issues, assigning to-dos, putting a plan in place to solve those issues once and for all. The reason we call it a level 10 meeting is the last part of the meeting is we review the to-dos that have been assigned and we talk about any messages that need to go out to the rest of the organization that aren't in the meeting. But we also rate the meeting on a scale of 1 to 10. How effective was this meeting this week? And by effective, we mean, was it a good use of our time? Because especially when we're talking about the leadership team, you know, you've probably got the 4 to 6 most highly paid people in the company in this meeting for an hour and a half every week. It's an expensive meeting. If it's not an effective meeting, then we need to be doing something different, right? And so we call it a level 10 meeting because that meeting being effective means we're identifying issues and we're solving them once and for all. That's a good meeting, right?
Right. Yeah. That is something that I really appreciated is the amount of structure and discipline that it brings, mainly because sometimes you can get into those issues and there's tension, right? It's there, you have disagreements, you're not on the same page, and those discussions can be so productive and helpful because you really start to understand why you're not on the same page, how you're holding each other accountable, especially if the CEO is in that meeting and the direct reports are in there. You know, I've noticed that it's really important for the people who are on that like VP level or director level to be comfortable professionally challenging the CEO so that it leads to like a healthy outcome for the organization, right? But then the CEO has to be ready to hear those challenges.
So I've got to ask you, Terry, do you have the EOS toys?
No, I don't know anything about this.
Okay, so there's a toy kit. I'll send you one, actually.
Okay.
But there's an EOS branded toy kit, and in there are little animals, right?
Okay.
One of the animals is an elephant, right? Are we addressing the elephant in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Right? One of the toys in there is a cow. All right. Are there any sacred cows that we're not talking about, right? That we're avoiding talking about, right? There's a squirrel, of course. Squirrels for tangent, right? There's a horse. You know, are you beating a dead horse? Are you starting to repeat yourself, right? When you're solving problems, you know, say it once. Don't keep repeating yourself over and over again. You're beating that dead horse. And then the last one is the bull, right? And you can guess what the bull is for.
Yeah.
you call BS on someone, right? And so I'm going to send you a set of the EOS toys. So
I love that. I mean, you just hit on so many kind of unhealthy and unproductive things that happen in meetings, every type of meeting, but especially leadership meetings that don't get you to the place that you need to get to actually take action and make progress. And I love that. And putting a little humor on it always makes it a little bit more palatable and kind of breaks the tension.
Some of my clients... Yeah, they're little rubber toys. Some of my clients throw the toys at each other. I'm like, don't throw the toys. Just hold them up, right?
Yeah, we don't taking it to the next level there. That's like a level 25 meeting. That's not level 10 anymore. Oh my gosh. Well, what are like as it relates to, you know, since our podcast is designed to help people who are in marketing and sales roles really understand how they can connect that to business value and what some of the challenges are in doing that. Like, what are one of the biggest things that I think the B2B market in general struggles with is how do I set priorities with my sales and marketing programs, right? There's nobody in the B2B world other than like 100 or so companies has a $200 million marketing budget to do all of the things they need to do, right? And so most small to mid-sized businesses have to have a way to set priorities. And I want to hear your thoughts on how you coach your clients in setting those priorities and figuring out what the right path to the solution would be.
Okay. So the priorities really comes down to what we call the rocks. And I mentioned the rocks a little bit earlier, right? So every quarter we get together and we say, what are the 3 to 7 most important things that need to happen in this company in the next 90 days, right? And the sales guy on the team, you know, he always will say, oh, well, my rock is to hit this revenue target. No, that's your goal. That's your job, right? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to hit that revenue target? Right. And so it's activity based. What are the things that you need to do to hit that revenue target? And the marketing people are the same way, right? What are the 3 to 7 most important things that you're going to do this quarter, right, in the next 90 days to hit the revenue targets or to generate the leads that you need to generate or whatever. So it may be our marketing person is great, but they don't know one thing about digital marketing. Hey, you need to go out and hire a marketing refresh or, you know, we need to put on an event or we need to whatever those big priorities are that are going to help you generate the leads that you're going to need for to hit your revenue target are the things that turn into rocks. Right.
Right.
Okay. The other piece of it is, you know, I mentioned earlier when I talked about vision, traction and healthy is that healthy piece. Right. Mm-hmm. For the business development person or for that matter, for the operations person or the finance person, you know, in the company to sit and think about their priorities in their little world, right? It's not the most efficient way to actually talk about it as a team and say, hey, what do we as a team, as a leadership team, think the finance goals are for the quarter? What do we as a team think that the operational goals are for the quarter? And then what do we as a team think are the, you know, marketing and sales goals for the quarter, right?
Yeah.
And so get the team to work on it as opposed to, you know, sit in your little silo and come up with your priorities yourself, because then no one's going to be holding you accountable. You may be setting priorities that aren't supporting the overall goals of the company. Whereas if you do it as a team approach, you know, it's going to be much more effective and you've got the accountability piece that's built into it as well.
Right. Yeah. So in the companies that have our higher number of employees, like the 100, 200, 250 employees, do you then see that same concept carry down into their different departments? And do you work on departmental rocks?
Absolutely. So, So we always start at the leadership team, right? Mm-hmm. And we, you know, some of the clients want to be very proactive in terms of pushing the system down. What we say is our role in any EOS session that we do with the client is we have 3 roles. We're teacher, facilitator, and coach, right? We're teaching the system to the leadership team, right? Mm-hmm. We're facilitating their conversation and we're coaching them through the rough spots, right? Now, when you have a larger organization, you want to start doing, you know, you want to start pushing EOS down into the organization, right? Mm-hmm. And so the members of the leadership team are now going to have to become that teacher, facilitator, and coach.
Okay.
And
got
so
it.
You need to be using the system for at least a quarter or two before, you know, so that you're familiar with the tools, you're familiar with how it works, you're familiar with the flow, and then you push it down to the next level. And then for a large organization, once they have used it for a quarter or two, then you push it down to the next level. Well, what do we mean by push it down to the next level? What we mean is, so, you know, on the vision piece, everybody's probably going to have the same vision, right? You're going to have the same core values for the company. You're going to have the same long-term targets and so on and so forth. But every division or every department in the team can have their own scorecard. Every department in the company can start having their own rock setting every quarter, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately, what we want to get to is where everyone in the company has 2 things that they're responsible for. One is we call it a measurable. So we talked about that scorecard. So you have a departmental scorecard. And ultimately, everybody in the company has at least 1 number that they're responsible for hitting. Right? Okay. We call that a measurable. The other thing that we ultimately get to is that everyone in the company has at least one rock every quarter. So you mentioned a 200 person company, right? Mm-hmm. Think about this, a 200 person company, if everybody in the company has at least one rock every quarter, right? That's 800 things that are getting done every year.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. And some of them, you know, when you talk about low level rank and file employees, it might be clean up this area of the warehouse, right? Mm-hmm. It might be repaint the safety stripes in the, you know, for the forklifts running through the factory or whatever, right? And so it may be something that is at a different level from what's happening at the leadership team level, but it's ultimately making the company safer. It's making the company more efficient. It's making the company a better company. It's making the company more profitable, really.
Right. Yeah. So, but it sounds like you're able to then draw a really clear line between how a rock for a frontline employee connects to a measurable.
Absolutely.
That is important. That's to right. the company.
And so what tends to happen is the members of the leadership team will take a rock, right? Mm-hmm. And then they'll go back to their team and they'll say, hey, here's the rock I took for the leadership team. You know, one of the things I always tell my clients is when you take a rock in the quarterly meetings, right? You're taking the responsibility for making sure that rock gets done. You're not taking responsibility for doing it, right?
Right.
Because you're going to probably take it back to your team and say, okay, I took a rock at the leadership team level for this quarter. How are we as a department going to get it done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so one other part of EOS that we haven't really talked about yet, but you're very transparent through this process, right? Not you as the teacher, facilitator, coach, but as a company, you are very transparent with the whole team. And that can make you feel a little bit uneasy as a leader, but talk about that.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. So one of my clients that I have been working with now for several years, I think they've been with me 3 years. The first time that so our process is that we do what we call a 90-minute meeting to kind of get everybody oriented. And then we do a focus day, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we do in that focus day is that we set the first set of rocks. And on the rock sheet, as you know, but maybe some of your audience members don't know, the first thing on the rock sheet is target date, right? Mm-hmm. Revenue target, profit target, any other key measurables, and then your 3 to 7 rocks, right? Well, the owner of the company, was a family business. The owner of the company got really nervous when we started talking about this. And afterwards, he took me aside. He says, I have never shared revenue and profit with anybody in the company before this. He said, that caught me off guard. That was something I wish you'd warned me about beforehand. So now I do warn my clients that we're going to do that from now on, just to make sure, right?
Yeah.
But he played the financial part of the business. He played very close to the chest, right?
Yeah.
But with EOS, it's transparent, right? Here's the target. Here's the goal, right? Here's mm-hmm. what we're all trying to achieve as a company. One of my clients set a goal for his company. He said, if we achieve a certain amount of EBITDA in 2023, mm-hmm. I'm taking everybody and a guest on a cruise. And he has about 40, 45 employees in his company, right?
Okay.
And he invited some of his key advisors. So I got invited. And so I'm going on this cruise in about a month with them. But he basically said, hey, team, if we hit this EBITDA number, this earnings number, right, I'm taking everybody on a cruise. And so everybody in the company was focused on it and they did it. And so everybody's going on a cruise at the end of March.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, he sounds like a very generous person too and understands how to motivate people as well. But, you know, I want to dig into that topic of transparency a little bit more because I think it may be obvious what people's fears would be in being more transparent. For example, wow, now everybody is going to know what the company is making. Jealousies could form, resentments could form, judgments could form, right? But there's also a positive to that. Like the cruise is a positive outcome, but talk to me more about how that impacts the company culture when you're more transparent.
So I wrote an article actually a couple of years ago now, and the title of the article is The Boss Must Be Getting Rich, right? And so it talks about profit, right? Mm-hmm. And some people find talking about profit to be a taboo subject or at least a sensitive subject, right? And the point of this article is, look, you have to put it into context, right? when we talk about EBITDA, so the acronym EBITDA means earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, right? Mm-hmm. So what is not included in that? Well, interest payments. Well, interest payments kind of imply that you have some debt, right? Mm-hmm. You're servicing that debt after EBITDA, right? So if you've bought some equipment, or if you've expanded the facility, or if in some cases you bought the company and you're still paying off the previous owner of the company, right? There's debt that you're servicing, right?
Yep.
That comes after profit, right? That comes after EBITDA. The interest that you're paying on that, the taxes that you're paying, all come after EBITDA. The investment in capital equipment is a balance sheet issue, not a P&L issue, right? And so where's that cash going? Well, gosh, the cash is going to buy the equipment, even though it's going to be depreciated over time. It's how the profits are being used to be reinvested in the company. And so just because a company shows $2 million, $3 million, $4 million worth of profit, right, doesn't mean that the owner's putting $2, $3, $4 million in the bank, right?
Yep.
They're probably paying off debt. They're probably, you know, paying taxes. They're probably buying equipment. They're probably investing in marketing programs. Well, that would hit the P&L. But, you know, they're probably investing in other capital equipment and so on and so forth. So, so what I tell my clients is it's important to be transparent. Sometimes you do have to explain to people what profit really means, right? It means it's the money that we're going to be able to invest back in the business for the most part and to service debt.
Right. And to also be in a healthy position, right? Because cash flow is
You know, everybody wants to work for a profitable company. If the company's not making money, right, everybody worries about their job. And so everybody wants to work for a profitable company. And so the fact that my client can take his entire team on a cruise, right, that's a good thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, it does feed into the culture and the environment that you're trying to create, is that that education is the important part. It's being transparent, but then following that up with communication and education and helping people understand and be also willing to ask tough questions back to leadership that really just provide a good platform for educating them about why something may be the way that it is and why it's that way, and you know how you're managing that. I think it's awesome. But I love what you said at the very beginning about somebody who's more open to change than they are.
Yeah, they're more afraid of the status quo than they are of change.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the exact type of company that I think is well suited to being open to digital marketing as well. Is there's a lot of scary vocabulary and intimidating vocabulary in what you're coaching and training. And we have that same scary, you know, vocabulary and training in what we're doing. And it's like, you just can't continue to be afraid of those things, because if you are, it's going to hold you back at some point or another. And if you find the right people to work with, those aren't difficult obstacles to overcome in reality, right?
You know, I've got two examples of that, if I can give them. One is, I had a client, this is a few years ago, who had 85% market share in their target market, right? 85% market share.
Sounds pretty awesome.
No, it wasn't awesome. It was
awful. It's not. Okay.
If you have 85% market share, where's your growth going to come from? Right.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Got it.
And so if a company, and they were looking at, to actually transition the company as well, right? But nobody was interested in them, because where's your growth going to come from if you have 85% market share?
Okay.
Well,
see, Rusty, this is why you do what you do. And I'm like, I didn't even know that was bad, but good.
So the technology that they used, right, they sold it into sewage treatment plants. Very sexy business, right? Mm-hmm. Sold into the sewage treatment plants. But the product was basically to eliminate biogases, right? Okay. The nasty gases that are generated in sewage treatment plants. Probably more information than you want to know, right? But they had 85% market share. So they looked around and said, well, where else can our technology be used? Where else are these gases being generated, right? Yep. And so they looked at food and beverage manufacturing, right? There they had 5% market share, but they didn't have any salespeople that knew anything about that market, right? So they had to go out and put a marketing plan in place. They had to do their digital marketing to start to address, because they all of their marketing up to that point had been to municipal sewage treatment plants, right? And so that's what their salespeople knew. That's what their marketing people knew. And so they had to put together a kind of a new marketing strategy to go after this new segment. Right. I have another client who actually is a joint client of ours. In his one of his previous companies, he sold rubber products, right? And primarily to the oil and gas industry. Well, gosh, you're tied to one specific industry, you know, and it has a little bit of a hiccup. Well, your company's at risk because the industry has a hiccup. And so he also said, where else are these types of rubber products used, right? And decided it was the transportation industry it was a big user of these types of products, right? And so he had to put together a brand new marketing strategy, you know, hire salespeople to target that industry, because all of his people knew oil and gas. They didn't know transportation, right? And so he had to put together a new marketing strategy. He had to reach out to somebody like you, somebody that is able to put together a marketing strategy for this whole new segment that their people knew nothing about. So,
right. Yeah. And it's just kind of part of business is you constantly have to be looking at how you're evolving and then how you're what.
And that change for a lot of these people, that change was hard, right? But, hey, we only know oil and gas. Why are we going off and doing that? Or we only know sewage treatment plants. Why are we going off and doing breweries? Right. You know, and that change is scary for people when they're in something that they know and love and do every day. And all of a sudden the company's changing.
Right. Yeah. No, it is scary. It's scary at every level. Right.
Yeah.
But I think a system like EOS, it definitely gives you so many measurables and so many systems to follow that the fear starts to take a back seat. You know, that's what I really love about it.
You know, having a plan removes that fear, right? One of the pushbacks that I often get from entrepreneurs, right, is, oh, if I'm going to put together some sort of structured system like this, it's going to tie my hands. It's going to reduce my flexibility, right? The opposite is true. It opens up your flexibility, right? It gives you the ability and it gives you a forum and a process to discuss what should we be doing, right? How should we be doing this?
Yep.
Right. It, you know, frees up, you know, the time generally of the owner of the business. And quite frankly, if you ever want to sell your business and the business is really dependent on you, then it's not as worth as much or not, maybe not even sellable if the business, you know, if everything goes through you. And so the EOS program makes it all about the team, right? It's not about one person running everything. It's about the team running things, which is really freeing for the entrepreneur, which is, you know, we call the entrepreneur in our program, the visionary. Right.
Yep.
It gives that visionary the time and the space to be able to have those big thoughts, to be able to think about the future of the company, to be able to form new relationships and to deepen the relationships that they already have. It's actually a freeing thing as opposed to a constraining.
I can 100% attest to what you're saying, because that was really my number one fear in embracing the system. Because I'm in a creative field, and that was what initially got me interested in being in the marketing field, was having that ability to be creative and thinking more freely. And I definitely thought that any type of system is going to limit that. And actually, it gives me so much more time to do that and come up with new ideas. And then bonus that I wasn't expecting, leveraging what my team knows about any idea that I have and making it more of like a crowdsourcing exercise where they're like, no, Terry, that's not going to work. Or that's a great idea. And here's something that I would add onto it from what I experience that just takes any idea you have that could be great. And they take it to a whole other level. Yeah. I love that.
And it develops those leaders as well. So as those leaders are taking on those rocks, what they're really taking on is responsibility, right? Yeah. And so you're developing them and getting them to start to think bigger, to build that discipline and accountability into everything that they do so that you don't have to micromanage them. You don't have to look over their shoulder every day, because you know that every week in that level 10 meeting, right, that weekly leadership team meeting, you know, you're going to be reviewing that scorecard. You're going to be reviewing the to-dos. You're going to be reviewing the status of the rocks, right? That's very freeing for a business owner not to have to micromanage everyone, because the system is the one that's managing the accountability and the discipline, not the the manager, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I love it. Don't think I've ever asked you this before, but how did you first get involved with EOS? How did you get introduced to it and then interested in becoming the a professional implementer?
So I'm gonna do a call out to my friend Kevin Armstrong. So as you know, one of the programs that I've run now for 18 years is the Alternative Board, and I'm wearing my TAB shirt today as opposed to my EOS shirt. So I should have worn my EOS shirt today, but bad branding for Rusty. But I was at a TAB conference back in, I think it was 2014, and Kevin, who is the TAB guy up in Vancouver, British Columbia, he knows me quite well. We're really good friends. He came up to me, he says, Rusty, he knows my disk profile. He knows that I'm a very process oriented person. He came up, Rusty, I found this program. He says, I'm starting to offer it to my clients. He says, it's right up your alley, and it's called EOS. I said, what in the world is EOS? And he gave me a copy of the book Traction. And I read it and I'm like, whoa, this is great. And so that's when I first started offering it, was back in 2014. Now at the time, I was only offering it to my TAB members. So I was kind of under the radar for the first several years. I only had a few clients every year because they're all my TAB members. But then about 3 years ago now, I actually started to offer the system to other people outside my TAB membership.
Okay, got it. Now, you might have to also explain what TAB is, just in case anybody doesn't know what TAB stands for. And
okay, the Alternative Board. Does. So TAB stands for the Alternative Board. So we refer to it affectionately as TAB. It's CEO roundtables. We call them peer advisory solutions for business owners. It's kind of like CEO roundtables and business coaches. And the interesting thing about how TAB and EOS fit together is with the Alternative Board, with TAB, we focus on the business owner. We're focusing on the person, right? The business owner. With EOS, we're focusing on the leadership team. So the business owner and his or her leadership team. And so they fit very well together. And many of my clients are both TAB members and EOS clients. And then I have some
I am too. I get so much value out of both. And I'm not... For my listeners, I can't be in Rusty's TAB group because we don't live in the same place, but I cannot speak highly enough about the value that I get out of both. And TAB is like, anybody who does any job and really any component of your life, community is so important, right? So just being in a group of people who understand what you're going through and they're going through it at the same time as you, and you can share those lessons learned. TAB is a very strongly facilitated group. And, you know, speaking from the CEO point of view, it's so valuable to get lessons learned and feedback from people who are not in your business every day, who also have the same concerns and stresses and worries that you have as a business owner or a leader in your company. And it just, it adds so many really valuable points of input for how I run my company, for sure. Learn a lot from it. Okay, I'm going to transition into some rapid fire questions. And if you didn't read these over ahead of time, Rusty, get ready, but they're all fun. So what is your favorite trip that you've ever taken?
So I lived abroad for a number of years. I lived in Germany. So I'm sorry, I'm not a rapid fire guy. So I went to China. That's my rapid fire answer. I went to China. With the Greater Houston Partnership, a group of us went over there. I think it was like 90 of us with the Greater Houston Partnership. It was a wonderful trip, and it's a fascinating country, and I really enjoyed it.
Okay. That is definitely on my places to visit list. Okay, switching gears to the second question. Is there any like musical artist or group that if you could see them, they would be like your dream? In dead or alive, right? Yeah. So from any point in time.
When I saw this question, the first thing that came to my mind is I better say Taylor Swift, because if I don't, then we're going to cut off a lot of the audience, right? But in reality, it's Bruce Springsteen, right? I've seen Bruce Springsteen. First time I saw him was when I was in college, which is ancient history, right? He was a lot younger. I was a lot younger, and Clarence Clemens was still with the band, but I'd still like to see him again. So now that he's matured, right? And I've matured.
I've seen him before, and I saw him at a little theater in Houston.
On an amazing concert.
Oh my gosh, he's amazing. He's amazing. What is I bet you I know the answer to this, so maybe you'll surprise me. But what's like the number one book that you're constantly finding yourself recommending to people?
Well, I have to say Traction, right?
I know. That's what I figured you'd say.
Traction is for those of you that don't know, Traction is Gino Wickman developed the EOS system, and he wanted to take it out to a larger audience. And so the way that he did that was twofold. One, he wrote the book Traction to describe the system, but he also started hiring, you know, bringing on people like me who, cause he could only implement a certain number of people at a time. And so Traction has to be on my list. Right. But yeah. Other than that, a couple of the books that I really recommend to people is The Gap and the Gain. And it's about viewing things from a point of view of how far we've come as opposed to what we're missing. Right. And the other one is Atomic Habits.
That's a great book.
Atomic Habits is really about, making the important things in your life a habit and replacing the bad habits that you have with good habits, right? And one of the premises of the book is that you can't stop a habit, but you can replace it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you overeat, for instance, right, it's hard to say, okay, I'm going to stop overeating, as opposed to saying, hey, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to eat fruit instead of candy or whatever, right? And so Atomic Habits, and it's great for business development. It's great for business. It's great for personal life. It's great for your relationships. It's great for everything.
Yeah, that is an awesome book. I'm going to have to check out The Gap and the Gain. I haven't heard of that one yet or read that yet. Okay, the last question is, what is the best job you've ever had?
I had an answer for this. Obviously, what I'm doing now is the best job I ever have. But I mentioned a few minutes ago, I spent some time abroad. I was working for Compaq. And I had the opportunity to go run our storage business for Europe. And I was over there for 5.5 years. And it was wonderful. The job was great. Living in Germany was great. The travel I got to do while I was in that position was amazing. So, yeah, if they hadn't made me come back to the States, I would have stayed. But they threw money at me and I took it. So and a huge promotion. So that's what it took to get me out of that job was a huge promotion and a lot of money. And so they brought me back to the States.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty exciting adventure though, like to get to live in a different place and do all that kind of roaming around and exploring.
It was one of the highlights of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Rusty, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. I really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I know we didn't talk 100% marketing the entire time, but I really hope that the listeners kind of understand the connection between what you do and how that just sets a business up to have a more structured and disciplined approach to their sales and marketing program so that it can be measured and tracked. And those things are so important. So thank you. Thanks for listening. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast channel and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. You can connect with me on LinkedIn or visit our website at marketingrefresh.com.